Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10:07 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, April 28th. It's Happy May. We're almost there in a couple of days. May Day is Friday, May 1st. Hard to believe that April just went whipping by, but I have to say, we are having a rainy week here, and that is just miraculous, absolutely miraculous. After all the heat and dryness that we've had rain the past couple of days. I think we had a little bit this morning, and then it's supposed to continue for the next few days. So, praise God for that. I mean, that is just wonderful. Yesterday, when Grace and I went for a walk, it was actually foggy. And we never have fog in Denver, never. So just being out there, I think we might have seen somebody out on their walk too, but there weren't the usual number of people. And it was it's serene for one thing, but it's also surreal to just be out there and walking in. It was cold. It was like 38 degrees, something like that. So it was cool to be like all bundled up and out walking in the fog. But I have a story to tell, and I was debating on it. First of all, I'm a little bit late because just as soon as I finished getting my show together, I mean, like literally a minute after, my power went out. Now I'm texting Serena saying, oh no, you know, the power's out. And I called XL Energy, our energy provider here in Denver. And they said that it was anticipated to come back on in my area by 1:45. Well, right now in Mountain Time, it's 11 o'clock. So I sent Serena a text and an email and was prepared to just do my show next week, but I'm really excited. It's good stuff. So I'm so happy. So I consider that little outage just a little bit of resistance, and hopefully that resistance foretells a really good show. It's good, powerful information. So I'm excited to share it with you, but, back to my fog story real quick, because I have a lot to share. Like I said, we rarely have fog in Denver, but my favorite and most powerful experience of the fog was in 2020 in June. My grandson Bowden's birthday is June 11th, and he is my little adopted grandson, and we just, you know, they had just gotten him, and an amazing thing happens. And this happens to me when it's happened at the birth of each one of my grandchildren, to include Bo. I have three. And also at my grandmother's death, my mother's death, you know, it happens when someone comes in and when someone leaves. And the only way I can describe it is it's like my head's not attached to my body. It's just, it's a strange, strange space. But I've experienced it several times on, you know, when those two events have occurred in my life. So anyway, we're out walking. Grace and I are out walking. And I mean, it was really foggy. And we turn a corner and we look at the end of the, she kind of stopped for a minute. And I looked up, and at the opposite end of the street, it looked like there was a dog, you know, a big dog out without a person, you know, just a dog out on their own. And so we just kind of stopped, because that, you know, our experience is that's usually not good if a dog's out without a person, especially a big dog when I have a little dog. So we just kind of stopped, and it started walking toward us. And as it got closer, I realized it was a deer. It was a young deer, had tiny little horns starting on his head. But this deer, now I live in a neighborhood. I live in an old neighborhood, in an older, a mid-50s century neighborhood. And we are, you know, Colorado Boulevard, which is a busy street, is 13 blocks away from me. And north and south of me are not super busy streets, but busier streets. But I'm walking in our neighborhood. There's not a golf course nearby. There's not a big park nearby. There's no place that I could figure out where this little deer came from. And he walked. Grace and I stood there literally like statues. And we watched this deer walk down the street, middle of the street. Cars are parked on either side. Unflinching. Just the epitome of peace. And he walked right by us to the end of the street where we turned the corner and took a left. Now, I have no idea where he went either. But for the longest time, I wasn't sure if that really happened or not, you know? But it was the most beautiful experience. And so after that, you know, it was that was Bodie's deer, you know, Bowden's deer. It was just a wonderful experience. But like literally Grace didn't make a peep. We both just stood there and watched it walk by so gracefully, not bothered at all that we were standing there. It was incredible. It was just incredible. And just a huge, huge blessing on top of having a brand new baby boy that we didn't expect, you know, until he showed up. So I don't know. That's what fog reminds me of. And I just wanted to share that story with you because that was really something. I mean, really, really something. Anyway, I am happy to be here. And this show is live on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. If you'd like to join the chat, just go to 12radio.com, click chat, and then you can click the YouTube link posted under my banner. You can also subscribe or find me on my YouTube channel, which is www.youtube.com/@KellyW1850. So I don't do readings on the show, but if you'd like a reading or healing from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm usually available later morning, Pacific time, into the evening. If you call or if you stop by, you don't see me or if I'm on another call, just schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified right away, immediately via text, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And I will always do my best to meet your schedule. We have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. This Friday is not only the 1st of May, but it's also the full moon. So we'll definitely be celebrating that day. And we also celebrate 12 Day, which is the 12th of each month. If you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And all that means is you leave your email address. While you're there, you can post what you're grateful for on the gratitude board, which is another way for us to support you, the 12listen advisors. We moderate that board and you just post what you're grateful for, whether it's in your experience or not. It's another way to focus positively, you know, have a positive focus, be grateful. We can only live what we believe. And gratitude's a great way to bring good things into our experience. I just want to say thank you again for listening, however and whenever you do. There is programming on 12 Radio 24/7. And there are archives of all shows, all the shows from all the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. 12 Radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support. So I really do encourage you to take advantage. And right now I want to say thanks to Serena for producing the show today. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to just a few minutes of a song called Vivir. And this is by Akalia. It's from the Amadas Estrellas CD and Sequoia Records. So please enjoy it, and I will be back right after. And I am so glad you're here. My name is Kelly Whetstone. You are listening to Empowerment. Thanks for joining me.
Te espero. Sola. Me siento. Mi soledad acabará. Y mi vida comenzará. No tardes mucho.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I think it's lovely. And I kind of ran into it in my music file, and I thought, I haven't heard that in years. So I hope you enjoyed it. At the beginning of April, I did a show called Pearls, where I shared pearls of wisdom from the authors I was reading and listening to when my husband and I moved to Las Vegas in 2008. We were there and in Phoenix for a little over 3 years, and I was really immersed in new thought and really learned a lot, you know, and learned a lot. And it really did give me a wonderful foundation. Well, on the April 7th show, I shared really wonderful stuff from Reverend Ike, Ernest Holmes, Neville, and John Randolph Price. But U.S. Anderson and his incredible book, Three Magic Words, made a huge impact on me during that time. And these are, you know, just like every author, no matter what your interest is, whether it's spiritual or whatever it is, every author says things differently. Truth is truth. All roads lead to Rome. And the truth is, we are never separate from our source. I am that, another word for God. That's what we are. The soul, self, being, consciousness, life, and mind of each of us is God, the infinite living God. That is truth, and that is Rome in that analogy. But to hear everything, we all teach from our truth, no matter who we are. When I was at the Institute, and began to teach, we had these sketchy little notes for each of our classes. And there was a purpose in that. It's like, this is what you need to cover in class, A, B, C. but it's going to come through your truth, your experience. And that's the jewel. You know, that's the beauty of it. For any teacher, any author, any writer, it's you're saying what's been said. There's nothing new under the sun. I think Hemingway said that. But coming through different people's experience and where they came from, experience, background, their time of life, you know, the time of where society was at the time that they wrote. And that's the thing that I think one of the things I really love about reading the authors that wrote at the beginning of the 20th century. They're like nobody else. U.S. Anderson, I think, was in the 50s, if I remember right. I can't remember. I've got three magic words right in front of me when exactly it was written. But the way he talks is really, you know, 1940s, 1950s. You can get three magic words on Audible. And it's a wonderful thing to listen to. The narrator is fantastic. And he sounds just like I picture U.S. Anderson to look. Anyway, three magic words was kind of spun my head around when I read it back in 2008, 2009, whenever. But I ran out of time on that show at the 1st of April to get into it. But I'm going to share some of it today. Those people, those authors that I read at that time, and during that whole time of wandering in the desert for 3.5 years, my life changed. I mean, it just changed. And I was doing my show all through that time. I started doing a show on 1-2 Radio in December of 2009. But that's also part of it. You know, we learn, we evolve, and we go back and we read something that we read a long time ago, and we're in a different place, and it can be completely different than we remember it. So I encourage you not to get rid of your old books and not to discount your old teachers, because every once in a while, you might get a tap on the shoulder to go back and take another look. Because again, you're a different person now. We live many lifetimes in our lifetime. I consider that little stint in the desert a lifetime. When I got back home, I did readings at a metaphysical bookstore called The Shining Lotus. And it's a lovely store. But for me, the very best part of that store was the used book room. I couldn't even tell you how many used books they have in there, but they cover everything. Everything from Tarot and I Ching to the Tao to Hinduism, Vedanta, everything. New Thought. That's where I met and became acquainted with Irvin Seal, Dr. Irvin Seal, who was an important teacher for me, Florence Scovel Chin, one of my heroes, and my guy, Joel Goldsmith, and The Infinite Way. That's where I found them, and all in the used book room. It was terrific. Plus, more books from, U.S. Anderson, because he wrote several. But all of those teachers here, now, Irvin Seal, Florence Scovel Chin, are New Thought. They're New Thought teachers. But again, where I started before I got back home, this was my next step in my spiritual evolution. And Joel, of course, is my guru. You know, a guru doesn't necessarily have to be a teacher. You don't have to go someplace and find a guru or have a guru find you. A guru can be a book. It can be a person, an author. It can be, I think Eknath Ishwaran said his guru was his grandmother, who just taught him, who lived the Bhagavad Gita and taught that to him. So Joel is my guru, because the thing I love about Joel is he presented to me a mainline. Now I knew at that point that that I was never, you know, that I and my infinite self are the same. You know, I knew that. But through Joel's teachings and writings, I experienced it. I really experienced it. You know, Neville said, I quote Neville, this quote all the time because I love it. God is known by experience or not at all. And Joel said, there's no power external to me. My conscious oneness with God constitutes my oneness with all spiritual being, idea, and thing. And God must be sought where God is, within you. And the way to experience God is through the silence of meditation. Now, as I said, Joel gave me that main line. In other words, whatever you are looking to change in your life, it will only change if you change your perception and you change you. And contact, you know, practicing the presence of God gets you out of your head. You leave whatever problem outside the door. You can think of that as, you know, going into your closet. I think Jesus talked about that, or it's in the New Testament. You go into your closet and you close the door. Your time with God is your time with God. It's quiet, it's solitary, and it's just for you. And so, you know, you go in there, and when you close that door, you leave whatever problem, whatever your thinky head was thinking about, on the other side of the door. That's a great visual. Anyway, Joel, prior to him, I guess channeling is the right word, the infinite way. He was a Christian Science practitioner. You know, he knew Mary Baker Eddy, the Fillmores, and he talked about them in his books and tapes. But his realization, and the one that kind of spun him around, so to speak, that like really knocked him for a loop, was that mind is not God, because you can change your mind. The human mind is not God. In Matthew 6, verse 27, and then verses 31 through 33, it's Jesus talking, and he said, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's in parentheses. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Of course, because your heavenly Father is you. And you are the instrument of the Father's appearing here in this physical plane. But then the last verse is what is the kicker here. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, you seek the kingdom of God, which is within you, by practicing the presence, by getting quiet, by feeling the movement of spirit within you. It's that simple. It's that simple. You know, Joel's teacher was Jesus. His master teacher was Jesus. And his method was getting quiet and practicing the presence of God within. And by making that connection, we experience the peace that passes understanding. And then, and that peace, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. When you sit down, or when you pray or meditate or whatever it is you do, and you're in it, right? You're just in it. Nothing else has your attention. And all of a sudden, it's like you feel this wave go through you. Or Joel called it a click. Or he said you might hear something or see something or whatever when you're in that quiet space within, in that inner sanctuary. But a shift happens. and you are different. You know, you might have gone in with a big weight on your heart, and all of a sudden it's just gone. It's just gone. That's a healing. And that's the added things. So I want to share more about thought, prayer, meditation, and connection through the wisdom of Joel, Neville, and U.S. Anderson. First Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I think most of us were taught to pray for what we or someone else needed. I mean, you prayed for something. At least that's my memory as a little kid. And that's because in Western religion, we're taught that God is outside of us, and that we, for the most part, are hopeless sinners or worms. You know, original sin, which is bunk. We pray when we need something from God. But because there is no God outside of us, those asking God for help prayers rarely bring answers. Reverend Ike said, "God has nothing more to give us." And that's true, because the infinite self of man is God. The I am is God. So what more could there be? And Joel said, prayer is not talking, but listening to God. Asking God for anything implies that God is withholding it from you, and that's impossible, because God withholds nothing. The spiritual storehouse is within us. The demonstration of it is our responsibility, not God's. And that demonstration comes through faith and the conviction that you already are what you seek. God is. There are no edges. There is no place where God is not. And God is the soul, self, being, consciousness, life, and mind of each and every one of us. Joel wrote in the Heart of Mysticism, "People say that meditation is the way. Meditation is not the way. Connection is the way. The kingdom of God is within you." Excuse me, there is a center of your being, which is like a deep, silent pool of contentment, a deep well of silent spirit. When you're at the center, you have found heaven. And it is out of that deep inner silence, which the master called my peace, that the healings and harmonies and joys flow forth. And all those who have tuned in to that consciousness receive the benefit of it. Let each one realize that God is individual consciousness, and that the presence and power of the Godhead can be brought to bear in your families, your communities, in your nations, in proportion as you can settle back into this silence and let it come through. This is a difficult thing to achieve, and an individual setting about to accomplish it alone may have to go through months and sometimes years of work in meditation. My own experience required months and months of constant and persistent meditation, day and night, before I received the first second of realization. And all that time, the question was, how do I know there is such a thing and that it will accomplish anything? And what he means is, how do I know there's such a thing as God? That was his question. To my knowledge, no one had gone that way before, back to Joel. No one had prepared the ground, and I had no knowledge of it at all. Only a conviction, an inner conviction, that if I could just touch the center within myself, which is God, that would release it into expression. And it would take over my life and the life of those who look to me for help. Ooh. That just makes my head explode. Conviction. I love that word. It moves mountains. It truly does. It moves mountains. It is the power of a made-up mind. And it's acted upon by Source because it is faith. Neville wrote, perfect. I love the way all of this just flows together. Neville wrote in a book called Your Faith is Your Fortune, "Before Abraham or the world was, I am, capital I am. When all of time shall cease to be, I am. I am the formless awareness of being, conceiving myself to be man. My everlasting law of being, by my everlasting law of being, I am compelled to be and to express all that I believe myself to be. I am the eternal no-thingness, nothingness, containing within my formless self the capacity to be all things. I am that in which all my conceptions of myself live and move and have their being, and apart from which they are not." And that's all of us and everything that we perceive. "I dwell within every conception of myself. From this within-ness, I ever seek to transcend all conceptions of myself. I am the law of being, and beside me there is no law. I am that I am." Reverend Ike said, "I am is the name of God, and it is the nature of the law. Whatever you add to I am, you become." Neville continues, "If I be lifted up in consciousness to the naturalness of my desire, I shall automatically draw the manifestation unto me. Consciousness is the door through which life reveals itself. Consciousness is always objectifying itself. To be conscious of being or possessing anything is to be or have that which you are conscious of being or possessing. Therefore, lift yourself to the consciousness of your desire, and you will see automatically it will outpicture itself. To do this, you must deny your present identity. You deny a thing by taking your attention away from it. To drop a thing, a problem, or ego from consciousness, you dwell upon God, God being I am. Be still and know that I am is God. Believe, feel that I am. Know that this knowing one within you, your awareness of being, is God. Close your eyes and feel yourself to be faceless, formless, and without figure. Approach this stillness as though it were the easiest thing in the world to accomplish. This attitude will assure your success. When all thought of problems or self is dropped from consciousness, because you're now absorbed or lost in the feeling of just being I am, then begin in this formless state to feel yourself to be that which you desire to be. I am that I am. The moment you reach a certain degree of intensity, so that you actually feel yourself to be a new conception, this new feeling or consciousness is established and in due time will personify itself in the world of form. This new perception will express itself as naturally as you now express your present identity. To express the qualities of a consciousness naturally, you must dwell or live within that consciousness. Appropriate it by becoming one with it. Man can receive nothing, no thing, except it be given him from heaven. Jesus said that. Remember, heaven is our consciousness. The kingdom of heaven is within you. This is why you are warned against calling any man father. Your consciousness is the father of all that you are. See no man as an authority. Why would you ask a man for permission to express when you realize that your world, in its every detail, originated within you and is sustained by you as the only conceptual center? Your whole world may be likened to a solidified space, mirroring the beliefs and acceptances as projected by a formless, faceless presence, namely, I am. Oh. My head exploded again. It's, you know, if I want to change anything in my life, I have to know that I am God. And there is no place to go but within to effect a change. I have to change myself, my consciousness. Neville said, your concept of self is all that you accept and consent to as yourself. And I can, and only I can change what I accept and consent to. He also said, faith in God is measured by confidence in yourself. When I drop everything and go into the silence of that formless, faceless presence, I'm at zero. I'm at zero. That's the only way I can describe it. Joel said, infinity is the measure of our being. And that's what I feel. Limitless, infinite life. And it's a blank slate. And it feels natural to be there in that infinite mind. Neville talked about being lifted up in consciousness to the naturalness of your desires. I realized that wholeness, abundance, right relationships, true place, fulfillment, the square of life, is what is natural. They're also called the divine standards. Standards is status quo. Because that which lives me is God. Therefore, those things, all good, is what is natural to me, the truth of my being, and everyone else's. But it's my responsibility to demonstrate them, because God is only glorified in my success. God is our awareness of being. Therefore, struggle and pain and fear and limitation is not natural. It's not, which is why they feel so bad. We're going against our true nature when we accept them. And we do accept them, or they wouldn't be part of our experience. Lastly, three magic words. U.S. Anderson offers another way to think about prayer. The human being is a center of life force, attracting some things, repelling others, according to his conceptions and beliefs. We have seen that all the things of our world are nothing more or less than pure intelligence, cast into form by a conception in the universal subconscious mind. Intelligence responds to intelligence, and thought creates vibration, which inevitably attracts the thing in the conception. The one mind in which we all live contains an infinite number of possibilities, all of which are capable of becoming manifest in space and time when the conception has been planted in the universal subconscious mind. Therefore, whatever you choose and accept must develop in your experience, for it is attracted to you by an irresistible and immutable law. A law which isn't working some of the time, or occasionally, or most of the time, but every second of every minute of all the time there is. Whether we like analogy or not, we are literally praying every minute of our lives, and every single one of our prayers is answered. There is no escaping this wheel of answered thought and belief. It is the law of life. Whatever has developed in our experience has not been brought to us by luck or fate or coincidence, but is simply a physical manifestation of our thought and belief. Whether it has brought us good or evil, it is in effect an answered prayer. You are what you think. You attract what you think. Your life is a product of your thought and belief. And nothing in the world can change this fact. To alter your life, the only single course open to you is to alter your thinking. So, that's that. I mean, you know, really, the only thing we can do is change our thinking. And that, you know, we control our thoughts. We don't think we do sometimes when stuff takes over and some conversation that wasn't pleasant keeps replaying like a thought loop in our heads. But we do control our thoughts. It is not the other way around. When we're thinking about something we don't want in our experience, it behooves us to shift our thought to something positive. And this is not airy, very positive thinking, but common sense. It's common sense because thought plus conviction equals demonstration. Whether it's positive or negative, we experience what we believe. It can't be otherwise. We reap what we sow. We live in a relative universe. Everything is relative. Karma is constant. Karma simply means action or something done. Something done, something thought, something said. It never ends in that thing. That is never an isolated thing. It moves out and it attracts. It's like Florence Scovelshin, you know, calls them like boomerangs, you know, especially when they're not nice. They're always going to come back. They're always going to come back. And when you are, you know, think about when you're worried, think about when you're focused on a problem, think about how you feel in your body. The feeling in your body, you might have a stomach ache, your head might hurt, or you might just be exhausted, you know, from thinking about something, from worrying about something. It's exhausting. It has physical manifestations. You know, what we think in our mind and what we empower with our emotions end up in our physical body, you know, end up as feelings and results, so to speak, in our physical body. So that is karma. That's instant karma. You are focused on something negative, you get a stomach ache. That's instant karma. That's telling you it's time to shift your thought. It's time to think about something else. And it brings me to, I look up on my wall, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Because what you focus on expands. So focus on good. Find it. Seek it out. Grab a book. Listen to a tape. Dance. Whatever it is you need to do to deny, as Neville said, that problem, and to deny it, as he said, simply means to take your attention away from it. What you focus on, you give life to. Focus is life. Focus is love. Attention is love. Whether you're loving something you want or something you want nothing to do with, it is still love. It feeds it. It grows it. So by taking your attention away from something, it dissipates because it's not being fed. I want to end with the 12th meditation from Three Magic Words, U.S. Anderson. The book has 12 chapters, and at the end of each chapter is a meditation that basically is a recap of what was covered in each chapter. And this 12th meditation I've always found to be so powerful. I've shared it several times, but it's a fitting way to end this. That was a lot of powerful stuff. I mean, a lot of really powerful stuff from three really powerful teachers. And again, all roads lead to Rome. We're it. Everything we need is within us. So here's the 12th meditation. Oh, man. I love this. Take a deep breath. You might close your eyes if you can and listen. I turn away from the world about me to the world of consciousness that lies within. I shut out all memories of the past, create no images of the future. I concentrate on my being, on my awareness. I slide deep into the very recesses of my soul to a place of utter repose. Here I perceive fact in the making. I'm conscious of the one being from which all beings spring. I know that this is immortal self. This is God. This is me. I am. I always was. I always will be. All men, all things, all space and time and life are here in the depths of my soul. Smaller than small, greater than great, meet and unite in me. that which I thought I was, ego, I never was at all. For it was a changing thing, mirroring the seasons and the tides, a thing to be born and grow and die. I am not a thing of time or circumstance. I am spirit, pure and eternal, birthless, deathless, and changeless. I am patient, for I am all time. I am wise, for I contain the knowledge of all things. I know not pain, for I see there is no beginning and no end, and who suffers pain must see beginning and end. I am rich, for there is no limit to the abundance I may create from my very self. I am successful, for I need only think to achieve. I love and am beloved, for all things are myself, and I am all things. I unite, I fuse, I become one with universal subconscious mind. The mask of vanity and ego I shall never wear again. I perceive the magnificent dweller at the center of my consciousness, and I know him to be my very self. Time and space, shadow and substance, what matter these? I am God. Well, I hope you enjoyed these pearls of wisdom as much as I enjoyed sharing them. Oh my gosh, I'm charged, supercharged now. I hope you feel the same way. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. I wish you a very, very blessed week. And please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Goodbye, everyone.